Hi, Jawad. Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much. Pleasure to speak with you this morning, and happy that we're connecting, and hopefully we'll be able to connect with your audience as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this podcast, Jawad, which we have been talking about for some time now. As I was mentioning to you earlier, it is the 145th podcast of The Big Unlock, which the previous founder of Demo Consulting had started 5 years ago. So it is very well received in the industry circles. And it is great to have you as a guest on this podcast. So would you like to start with a brief introduction for yourself?
Of course. My name is Jawad Khan. And again, once again, thank you so much for having me. I'm Chief Data Analytics Officer, Vice President at Akron Children's Hospital. I have worked at Tufts University Medical Center prior to my job here at Akron. And before that, I was at Rush University Medical Center in Chicago. So I have over 15 years of experience in the provider side, doing same data and analytics at different institutions. And it has been an amazing journey. I've seen the progress and the transformation within data infrastructure for the data analytics. It has been an exciting journey, and I'm happy to share my thoughts with you today.
That's awesome. I'm looking forward to that. So would you like to tell us a little bit more about how did you start, first of all, in the healthcare provider industry segment, Jawad? What attracted you and what keeps you going and motivated even today? And a little bit about the organization that you work for, which is Akron Children's, as you mentioned.
Sure. Let me first start with the organization, and then I'll shift towards speaking about more of my background, how I got into healthcare and specifically data analytics and healthcare space. Yeah. Akron Children's Hospital is obviously the largest children's hospital in the Northern Highway. We are specific to just pediatrics. We only do children's. That's our claim to fame, so to say. We are a two-hospital system. We have 3 HRs, 4 urgent cares, 44 pediatric offices, and over 50 specialty clinics in the Northern Ohio area. We are a completely integrated system, and it serves well because we are integrated, use the single EHR all across our health system. So in that way, we are very unique, and we are growing in the Northern Ohio area. A little bit about me. I'm a computer scientist. In the background, I have a computer engineering degree, and I did electrical engineering as well in my college days. My first job out of college actually was in healthcare IT back in the day. Yeah, back in the day, we were developing serverless, Java serverless, if you remember, the technology on handheld Janardas that people could use. These were PDAs, as this used to be called, where we used to develop applications for checking formularies at the provider side. So the providers, as they're giving prescriptions out, it would check formulary in the background and do all the faxing of the prescription to the pharmacist and things like that. And I'm talking about early 2000s, so this was way ahead of its time, but it was nonetheless a very enriching experience. And since then, I've started on healthcare IT. I moved to various industries. I worked in marketing. I worked in real estate. I worked in capital markets for some time. I was a managing director for a capital markets company in the Chicago area. And then, I did enterprise architecture for a fairly large company where I was a consultant pursuing high accounts. At that time, we were doing a lot of cloud transformation. So I was doing enterprise architecture for cloud applications in public clouds. And I had a great opportunity to start working at Rush University Medical Center as in the data analytics space as a director. Then I became EVP eventually there. And, here I am 15 years into healthcare systems with data analytics.
Great. Thank you for sharing that, Jawad. So Jawad, when you think about, digital transformation and how it is solving challenges basically for your patient population, which is essentially, like you said, pediatrics and children in the local area and perhaps people coming from all over the world as well. Yeah. What are some of your thoughts and how do you approach it with your team at Akron Children's and any other experiences from prior that you would like to share with the audience?
By the way, our mission at Akron Children's is to do everything for them what we would do for our own children, right? So we are, we don't turn anybody back. So that's our core values and missions of the organization. And we are very sincere and focused on that, on delivering value and mission. So what that really means is we're going to our objective is always to provide the best possible care. And we always look at holistic care. We have several programs that are anchored in the community, anchored in the schools, where we try to do holistic care for the patients, not just sick care, but also wellness care for our patients to make sure that they are staying healthy and remain healthy for the remainder of their lives. And these are kids that we're dealing with. So we are very, very passionate about that.
That's good to know. So when you think about like some of the challenges in the digital transformation space from your perspective as a children's hospital, then what are you thinking? Like what are you, initiatives or the projects that you're working on currently, some things that you might have in mind for the future as well?
That's a great question. I mean, one of the challenges, and all challenges are opportunities eventually, in healthcare is that data is often locked in proprietary databases. We have, obviously, at Akron Children, we're fortunate enough to, like I said, because we're an integrated system and we have a single EHR across our entire system, it's a bit easier from the EHR perspective. But nonetheless, EHR is one application amongst 300 odd applications that make up our entire IT ecosystem or application ecosystem. And all of the systems collect data. That data is critically important. It's very difficult for any institution, not just ours, to unlock all of the data, convert that into information, and then eventually generate knowledge out of that for the institution to leverage from. So that's a very current and present challenge. It has been a challenge for many institutions. Like I said, we are not the only ones in that. So we are looking at several ways of making sure that we're able to extract data from all relevant applications that are needed for data analytics. And we provide the data to the folks who can actually use the data, like I said, to extract knowledge from that and do business and make data-informed business decisions. That itself has been really, for like even last for 15 years, like I said, there has been so much change in that space. We used to manage data in databases that are often siloed, but now we are all talking about integrating that into open platforms like public cloud, using leveraging public cloud for lakehouse-like architectures to bring data together. So the data becomes easier to access and remove as much friction as we can from making the data available for the end users. That definitely has been a journey, and it continues to be a journey.
Right. So when you say end users, Jawad, are you also thinking end users as in terms of the patients themselves for self-service applications? Or mostly when you're thinking end users, you're thinking end users of the application systems within the hospital systems, which your colleagues and physicians and nurses might be using?
I'm glad you asked that. I'm really glad that you asked that. We are thinking all of the above. So obviously, today, patients are able to access their data within minutes of their visit. You know, labs can become available to them on apps as soon as they actually get their labs done and blood work done. So yes, we are providing access to for our end users, patients, to the data in more timely fashion. And we are also talking about customers internally who are responsible for running the business, right? Who are accountable for making sure that the system is running on data-informed decisions. So all of that is part of our end users, and we strive to provide data to them by removing all necessary obstacles and frictions and organizing the data that is meaningful and usable for them.
How do you wrestle with the challenge of when someone comes in from another hospital system, which may not have the same EMR, EHR? Do they still bring their health record along with them, or you have to request it from the other health system? How does that whole process work in terms of interoperability of the data platforms and things like that?
That has improved quite a bit in the past. So if folks are coming from hospital systems that do use one of the current EHRs, because we are an Epic customer, we have Care Everywhere in our backend to interop data between all other Epic hospitals. Even non-Epic hospitals do participate in sharing the data through that same network of Care Everywhere in the backend that allows us to exchange information between systems. Now, I'm not saying that everybody is part of that network and everybody is able to share that information programmatically and in a timely fashion. Where that falls short, obviously, old methods are used. So we will call them on the patient's behalf to get the information. Sometimes it comes in CDC format. Other times it comes as even just a fax, if you may, that gets scanned into our EHR and then data becomes available. So yes, over time, it has improved quite a bit, but we still leverage legacy archaic methods, which are not very timely to get information about our patients. Not to say that there are challenges there. You can go to a different state and we'll be in a different state, and there might be compliance issues about what information can be shared and what cannot be shared. The patient has to consent, and all that could create some some obstacles, but nonetheless, they all are, we are able to exchange information using advanced methods and existing ordered and archaic methods.
That's good to know. So before I move on to, you know, typically the more exciting new technologies like AI and Gen AI and how you're thinking about those and some of the use cases that you perhaps are already seeing in your health systems or elsewhere in the in your network, I want to touch upon one topic of innovation with you, Jawad. Yeah. So how do you do innovation in a large health system where, you know, clinical decisions are being made which impact the patients, either from any thoughts or examples that you have from either working with your previous organizations or the current one in thinking about innovation as such, and startups, like there are several startups which are innovating in this space. How do they become part of the ecosystem?
Yeah, that also is an art and exercise in itself, right? How to bring about innovation and how to bring about meaningful innovation that has real impact on the care that we're providing for our patients. So first of all, I mean, I have to acknowledge your caution that, yes, there is a lot of innovation happening in the healthcare. I believe the industry is at an influx point where there's a lot of new ideas, new technologies are being introduced. And, you know, healthcare always has been seen as lagger in terms of accepting innovation than other industries. But, you know, I'm very excited, actually, that with Gen AI and the introduction of AI now, healthcare is actually taking a leap, I would say, sometimes more than other industries are, in at least being open and ready to accept the innovation, address challenges that innovation can support. So that's a positive. So where in which areas are we now able to do this is, I can give an example at Accra Children. Obviously, we are now using Gen AI for note summarizations for our physicians. So that the objective was to increase their pajama time, is what we call them, meaning time that they're spending outside of the clinical hours to complete the summaries of the visits that they have done in the day. So Gen AI is able to summarize them and even do other additional things to make it more time efficient for them to be able to document. Documentation is a big burden on healthcare and healthcare providers. So Gen AI is obviously a very natural use case. Note summarization is a natural use case for Gen AI, and we are leveraging that. There are other areas, I think, where automation and AI is becoming quite relevant and important, including on the insurance side, like pre-authorizations, where I'm seeing a lot of implementation of Gen AI. Gen AI on inbox management. Inbox management has always been a burden for the providers. And so automation of routing of messages and even auto-replying some of those messages, obviously with a human loop in the middle to make sure that they are able to, physicians are able to read the message that was generated, authorizes and send it forward. So these are the very, like the term low-hanging fruit in terms of how Gen AI is implemented. And we are obviously using them in this area, as I just talked about at Accra Children's Hospital. Data and analytics side also, there is quite a bit of Gen AI applications that are being, that at least I am seeing now. We haven't implemented them yet, but we're in the process of evaluating them and implementing them, is to, for folks to be able to use natural language process, you know, like natural language to extract insights from the data. You can come to the data and you can ask a question in your most comfortable language, using your most comfortable phrases, and the Gen AI in general then provide the dashboard without anybody having to create the dashboard. So that very prompt-oriented analytics is also becoming quite common now. We are actually piloting it to implement it at our institution as well. There is also Gen AI being used in the background, which, you know, front-end users might never be able to see, again, to normalize the data, to curate the data. There's a lot of that solutions that we are piloting and evaluating, working with various partners to see how it would make our processes or backend processes effective. That is also a high interest of us right now, because that, you know, that directly translates to FTEs, that really translates to ROI on things that we do, and even improved efficiency, integrity, and quality of the data as we look forward. So I'm very, very excited about these solutions.
That's great to know, Jawad. And I know that previously, you know, new technologies like Gen AI, people say that have to come with guardrails and a lot of, let's say, governance. And I know that you've done some work in that space in the past. Could you talk with us a little bit about your thoughts and how do you approach data governance in your organization or any previous examples of that?
Yeah, we all should be reminded that Gen AI is not an exception obviously, we can talk about the risks of Gen AI and or in AI in general and what that means. But making sure there is appropriate validation, quality to the data, quality to the care has been the central focus point for healthcare. We are a regulated industry. We have to make sure that obviously we're dealing with human lives. So all healthcare solutions have to be validated, curated, make sure that they're secure, make sure that they have been tried and tested before we can even bring them to implementation. So that's true about anything in healthcare. Yes, Gen AI, because it's artificial intelligence, because it's machine learning, it might have some added risks of needing validation, understanding openness of the model itself, how interpretable it is in terms of understanding the model. So all those things are very important. And in terms of governance of how we execute innovation using AI or innovation using even non-AI, is we do have this appropriate committees. We have an AI committee that is looking at all the solutions that are being introduced. We are discussing them, validating them. We have an informaticists team who actually look at them very closely to see how implementation is possible. We have data governance organization in our institution where there's a steering committee. There is a data analytics committee where all data curation processes get presented, data definitions are presented, metrics are curated. So what I'm trying to say is from like the end-to-end lifecycle of data, right? Data and analytics. Yeah. And I also, when I say analytics, I'm also including advanced analytics in that. That includes predictive modeling, machine learning.
Yes.
AI eventually. All those are run through our AI committee that we established at the organization. People from different parts of the organization have a seat in that organization. Our chief informatics officer leads that from the information services department. I am part of that committee. There, our CISO is part of the committee. Key folks from all of our clinical areas are part of the committee so that this information gets disseminated properly before it's implemented and everybody has an opportunity to learn and understand it before it becomes real. There are governance, there's appropriate governances, and whether or not we use them effectively is something time will tell, right? As we get introduced to new solutions and new innovations as we implement them, we will actually obviously run through these processes, refine and define the processes as we have, as the need becomes available and implement that. But there are organizations, there is a pretty decent organization in place to implement this innovation in AI.
That's very good to know. So I know that there are some exciting new technologies coming our way and a lot of innovation to be done. So any parting thoughts, Jawad, for the audience? Any other advice, suggestions based on your experiences or what you're seeing for the future?
Yeah, I mean, if I summarize like my experiences in 15 years of data analytics and especially at the provider sides, like I said at the start of the call, I think, start of our podcast, I think the challenge really is how to deal with data, how to understand or unlock some of the silos that has been created, and not necessarily by any wrong intent or anything, but just the nature of how applications become developed and get introduced into the hospital's ecosystem. It is a challenge and it will continue to be a challenge. Not all institutions are able to use all of the data. In fact, I believe that 80% of our analytics or even 90% of our analytics today are presented by only using 20% of the data. A lot of data is unused. So as we look forward to sort of turn the curve on this, we really have to understand the best possible ways to be multimodal in our approach to solutions. So how do you not just do with discrete data? What do you do with unstructured data? What do you do with imaging data? All of these solutions, like we have to think through those things more carefully and not leave them behind, right? Not leave the 80% data behind to provide majority of the solutions. So somehow we have to start becoming more data savvy in that sense. That's really what we have been dealing with. As we build warehouses, lake houses, the idea really becomes how do you model the data? And my other recommendation to your listeners would be to adopt common data standards as much as possible. Whether you are good in fire schema or whether you want to go more on the research side and implement OMAP-like schema to organize your data, all of those solutions are feasible. And staying to the common data standards might help down the road as you exchange and become more interoperable with other institutions. And today, most of the good innovations are happening on the app side. So apps are being developed that are more transactional with the data. So how do you present the data as application programming interfaces or APIs so that those apps can consume your data? These are the things that we really have to think about and organize the data so that it becomes like we remove all the frictions for folks to access the data. This would be my recommendation.
That's awesome, Jawad. Thank you very much. I actually had the pleasure of visiting Akron Children's Hospital the other day, and I was totally fascinated by the robotic coffee.
Yes.
That is available there, and we had some delicious coffee made by a robot.
A robot, yeah. next time you come, I'll take you around. There are a lot of innovations happening in that space. So we are a very forward-looking institution, and I'm so happy to be here.
Great. Looking forward to it, Jawad. Thank you very much, and hope to see you again soon.
Thank you, Rohit.